Okay, we were talking a little bit before we started recording here that I kind of popped my cherry on pop culture. I did for the
first time.
Oh, I
thought you were
time.
going to say about me taking a poop.
No, that's for another show.
Okay.
But I had first time in my life I ever Googled, pop culture headlines. And I was just like shocked by what I saw, that there's that much information. And I'm assuming it's on a daily basis that is filling the minds of people all over the world.
John, it's constant, and there's a constant appetite for it. It's a little bit like cannibalism, right? Because you think it's disgusting at first, but then you realize that it's a totally necessary part of society. Wait, did I just out myself as a cannibal? I'm sorry, what? Hey, don't knock it till you've tried it, right?
Right. No, I just was overwhelmed. I'm like, wow, this. I could see how people, when you fall down the rabbit hole, the rabbit hole is deep if you're into that.
That's, yeah.
Fortunately, I'm not into that. I have become more aware of headlines thanks to my relationship with you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Sorry?
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Here's the thing, John. Everyone loves celebrities. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if you know, but celebrities are very popular. Hence, they're called celebrities.
Right.
And eat it up.
Do you follow certain celebrities, or you just kind of look at the headlines and...
Now I look at the headlines. I mean, I know some celebrities, and I'll tell you one thing. It's a little bit strange because sometimes it doesn't matter at all. Like I met Ed Norton, and it was just like, oh, hey, okay, hey, nice to meet you. Okay, good. I think he was with Selma Hayek, and she's delightful, but short, but delightful. And maybe that's part of her delightfulness, is her diminutive stature. But then you meet other people, and it's like, it's actually like a big deal. Like, I remember I met Rob Hubel.
Who?
Exactly. And I was like, my heart was pounding in my chest, like how excited I was to meet Rob Hubel.
Who's Rob Hubel?
Exactly. But I was a fan. I am a fan. I think he's hilarious. He's on Transparent, but also he's in a lot of like supporting stuff and like
character actor.
Yeah, character actor. Does a lot of comedy stuff. He's hilarious on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And
so you're a fanboy.
So I was like I met him and it was like, oh my god, I'm meeting Rob Hubel. It was really embarrassing. Like,
did you say something stupid?
I don't remember what I said. I was just like blacked out. I was like, people are so stupid about celebrities. And there I was like drooling over myself. My heart's pounding in my chest. And I'm just like, I'm a fan. He's like, oh, really? What do you like? And I'm just like, all of it. Oh.
Yeah, I can see that happening quite a bit. My dad used to do business in California back in the 70s. And had numerous encounters. He would go into coffee shops and stuff in Hollywood and run into, famous people all the time and come back and tell stories like breakfast with Dick Van Dyke and Papa Carradine and Alan Hale.
Or like
Hale.
Going to Sharper Image with Robert Scacchi.
Who did that? You?
Me?
You did? Wow.
Is that his name, Scacchi?
I don't even know who that is.
That's, oh my God, that's Agent Johnson from Die Hard, not the African-American one, the white one.
Okay,
but he was also in Maniac Cop. We got into a discussion, I poop you not. Of course, I took care of that earlier. I poop you not. Which of the three Maniac Cop movies were the best?
Really? Which one?
That's
which
what we
one
talked
did,
about.
Did
he
you
felt
come
three
to an
was the strongest character study.
Thought what was?
Maniac Cop 3 the strongest character study.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Character development.
Okay.
To which I said, all right. Hard to argue with Robert Scacchi about that.
Okay. I'd have to see pictures to connect the name to the face and to...
He's that guy with the acne problem, or not the facial pockmarks.
Oh, yeah.
Not the one from Grease.
Okay. Gotcha.
The bad guy one.
Yeah, he's always plays the bad guys.
Right? Yeah, he always plays. Yeah, yeah. But see, in Maniac Cop, he didn't.
Okay.
Which is why I think I brought it up to him. I was like, hey, I was just watching Maniac Cop 2 last night.
I didn't even know there was a Maniac Cop 1, 2, or 3.
Well, John, get with the program, pal.
So, continuing on This Week in Pop Culture, No, actually, this is episode 38, Foul Territory. I'm John Simple. He's Jed Rigney.
I'm cutting off now. I'm Jed Rigney.
And we're here to talk a little bit of baseball. Or a lot of bit of baseball.
All evidence to the contrary.
So we've whetted everyone's appetite with Hollywood and celebrity and people you know. I'm sure there's more. And maybe in future episodes we can talk, dig deep into your treasure trove of
I know dozens, and I have hilarious stories about all of them, many of which they don't want known.
Oh, so you have dirt on celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we should
start... it's more like dust.
But the dust of a celebrity can get them into trouble.
That's true. That's true.
So you can bring some folks down.
No.
Well, you've directed people in film.
That's true.
As a director, you kind of know, you're kind of plugged into the Hollywood scene.
That's right.
And you directed Jeff from the Late Show.
Oh, right. Yes. Jeff Peterson, the robot.
The robot, yeah.
The human voice behind his hilarious
Robert,
robot sidekick.
What's his full name?
Josh Robert Thompson,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are buds, right?
Hilarious guy.
Yeah, he's
great actor.
Darn funny. Does voices.
Yeah, we knew each other before we did the film. It was sort of one of those things where we're like, hey, we're not talking about baseball. But anyway, but it was like I was hoping to get him for the project because I thought he could do a good job. He really did.
Did you know him before The Late Show?
Did I know him before? I knew him before he was Jeff Peterson. But he had been doing some other little bits on The Late Show, doing like an Arnold impression and I think his De Niro, which is also
very
incredible.
Good. Yeah.
He's a great impressionist.
And then his best one is, what's his name?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, yeah.
Yeah, he does voice work for Morgan Freeman.
Does he really?
Freeman? When the studio needs to get some ADR, additional dialogue recording done on Morgan Freeman films and Morgan Freeman isn't available, they bring in Josh.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's a voice double.
He does voice double work for lots of people, but specifically Morgan Freeman. But he'll do like... He'll get hired for stuff like, Tropic Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do is when they make the TV version where they have to bleep out all the stuff.
Right.
You know, and they replace it with other words. He's one of the guys that
they don't bring in
the
superstars to redo those lines.
Right. Right.
Interesting.
So when they took You Can't Go Full Retard. Again, I know it's the R word. I apologize, but that's what they said in the film. Full Retard. And then they changed it to Full On Out. You can't go full on out.
Yeah, that doesn't get
the laugh. It doesn't get the
laugh. Full on out. Yeah, sometimes when you hear the dubs, it's like, wow, that just completely loses any sense of comedic timing with some
Like,
of the,
this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Right.
From Big Lebowski.
What was
it's F-U-C-K. A stranger in the ASS.
When you find a stranger in the Alps.
Yeah. This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps. And he's destroying the Corvette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walter, man. Walter Solchik.
That's pretty funny. It doesn't have the same impact. So that's what you're watching when you're watching it, the old days on airplanes, where they take everything out and dub everything down.
Exactly.
Like entire
so he does a lot
missing.
Of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, interesting. We're 10 minutes into the show. We have yet to talk about baseball. I hope we don't lose.
Here's the thing.
We're either going to lose our audience or we're going to gain an audience that says, guys, talk more about this.
Here's the thing about baseball right now, right? There's one story.
Okay.
We got a bunch of stories listed, but the story is the Cleveland Indians their 21-game winning streak.
Right.
So let's talk about this 21-game winning streak.
Let's do that.
Are you impressed?
I'm blown away because this is not a team that I would have expected earlier in the season. They were a five game above 500 team for the first 4 months of the season, and all of a sudden, boom, blow up and go crazy. And
well, you certainly can't expect this from anyone.
No,
because
this is not the
team. No matter how good a team is.
Yeah, but it's been impressive. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous.
I think the reason why people don't really care about it that much, and people care, but I don't think they really care for two reasons. One, it's the Indians, it's Cleveland, and that's, no offense, Cleveland, but people just generally don't care about your city. And two, it's Cleveland.
Well, LeBron James even piped in yesterday on tweeted something, a video saying, like, oh my God, 21 games, keep going, push it to 40. I'm like, I don't think there's that many games left in the season to get to 40 unless you count the playoffs, but okay.
Yeah.
But it's becoming something that is now, it's even on the crawl on CNN. You know, it's just like
I just
baseball.
Remember when the A's were doing it, that people cared.
Well, the reason why is because no one expected the A's to do it. You know, I think everybody expected, you know, Cleveland was within, you know, a few outs away of winning the World Series.
I'm going to pump the brakes there. The previous year, the A's won 100 games. I know they lost Giambi and Moneyball and all that stuff, but come on. I think the reason why, John, this is actually the real reason, Cleveland jokes aside, the reason is that they're not doing it in dramatic fashion.
They're dominating.
They're absolutely dominating, and it's weird to watch, frankly. I think it's weirding people out. Now, frankly, they're also going up against the White Sox and the Tigers, and then they go up against the Orioles, and the Orioles are like, oh, yeah, no, we're just not hitting right now, like, at all.
This is my favorite stat that I read. They have hit more home runs than their pitchers have given up earned runs during this streak.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
No, they have seven shutouts, John, in 21 games. Seven shutouts.
Yeah.
And it's everyone. It's Clevinger. Clevinger's not walking anybody. Trevor Bauer? Sure, no. Trevor Bauer's an ace now.
Yeah.
And then who's the other guy? So you got Carrasco and Kluber, who are actually very good pitchers.
Yeah.
Like they tied the record with Kluber basically pitching a shutout, right? Mm-hmm. Did he pitch a full shutout himself? Was it I don't know if it was a complete game, but it was a shutout game. It's too dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no flukes. There's no like, oh, wow, they should have lost that one, but they pulled it out in the ninth.
No, there
it's
hasn't been
all
any.
All just like, no, we take the lead and we keep it.
Right. I think there has been very few games. I think there's only been, I think of the, I don't know about it, discounted yesterday's game, but the pitchers have 19 wins. Starting pitchers have 19 wins, which means they're dominating the games.
Right, which means they're taking a lead early,
and
they're holding
the
other team down, and they're keeping it. And it's very unusual for starting pitchers to get wins, which is a BS stat. But for them to get wins, like half would be significant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the norm, is that half the wins and the losses, I guess you could say, go to the
Well, the big question now is, have they peaked too early?
Well, that is kind of the question, right? Like The A's got swept in the first round, not swept, but knocked out in the first round when they did their 20-game streak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how the peaking works. I do know that sort of like analogously,
mm-hmm.
right? Like not by statistics, it seems like this is a bad time to peak. Because now what? They have like a 20-game lead in the Central, and so they're going to coast through the end of the season, and that's not good for teams. And
yeah, it's more about having healthy pitching.
Meanwhile, the Astros and the Dodgers are doing the opposite. They're
mm-hmm.
giving away their leads and that sort of thing. But at the same time, they're kind of guaranteed to make the playoffs. So
so it's more a matter of, those two teams have a chance to rebound. And it's more a matter, I think, you know, the Dodgers' collapse has been, to me, almost as astonishing as the Indians rise, because this is a team that was just in cruise control mode. And I mean, the wheels have completely come. They're the only team in the history of Major League Baseball to win 15 out of 16 in one season and lose 15 out of 16 in one season.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of dubious achievements, this team, which, you know, that doesn't mean they can't win the World Series. It just means, wow,
they're making it. Yeah. They're what's, more than anything that's happening.
We'll reset them in a second, but we'll finish with the Indians.
Go ahead.
Because there's a whole thing about the Dodgers, too. I guess that's the second story, but thankfully, the Indians have been sort of distracting everyone. And by everyone, I mean, you know, baseball fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think it's like a cultural thing like the A's were. And I'm not an A's fan or anything. I just don't think anyone really cares about these games, because it's not like, oh my God, and then Jose Ramirez hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 12th. We can't believe what we just saw. Like, there's just nothing like that here. It's like, Kluber shut out the Carrasco shut out the other team. Clevinger gave up a run. Oh, the other team had a lead. They were up 1-0.
The most excited person is the Indians broadcaster.
Is he still excited?
he's excited in I think every pitch of every game, and especially as it gets down to the end. The guy is the most excitable announcer I think I've ever heard.
Oh, good for him.
For an extended period of time. There are
and he,
moments.
He must not live in Cleveland. That's part of the trick.
But it's been absolutely fun to watch from the perspective, not necessarily of watching the games, because I've only seen bits and pieces, and they're on every night on MLB Network when, you know, especially in the latter half of the game. But, you know, just to sustain that streak, it's more than anything. And it doesn't have as much luster to it as it, when an individual is on a streak, whether it's a home run streak or, you know, a hitting streak or innings pitch.
Or streaking through the quad.
Streaking through the quad. Or jumping over the fence and running around the outfield, you know, naked for a while. That, you know, any of those get more attention than. But this one is. I agree. If it was a major, not that Cleveland's not a major market,
it's not a major market.
But if it was one of the top five teams in the league from a market perspective, it would be getting a lot more attention.
Right. Also, like, who's the superstar on the Indians?
There isn't one. No one.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Lindor could be in a couple years, but he isn't.
But Ramirez is their superstar. Nobody knows who he is.
Exactly.
Most unknown superstar in the league.
He's the Rob Hubel of the Cleveland Indians.
He'll probably finish in the top five of the MVP, as we discussed last week, and nobody knows who he is.
Yeah. I mean, heck, Kluber might get some MVP votes the way they're going here. But anyway, it's awesome. I mean, I as a baseball fan, you know I've been pushing the Indians since the beginning of the year. I think that this record that they now have is representative of the team. I would never expect a team to win 21 games, but when they were going slow, I kept saying, no, this is a very good team. Don't worry about it. This is a very good team. And here they are.
Yeah, and
this is without Andrew Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And with some players underperforming and some players injured, but they've just, the pitching has been dominant.
Mm-hmm.
The hitting has been good. Not great, but it's been good. It's not been like, whoa.
And they've had their issues with the DL trips, too. Pitcher, the Kluber was on the DL early in the season.
They lost Salazar, for crying out loud. Or now he's in the bullpen, I guess, because they, whatever.
So they've suffered to a 21-game winning streak.
Yes.
Yeah.
They found a way. But that's baseball, man. You can't predict baseball. You could take a team that's barely over 500, that's scraping along the top of their division, all of a sudden they win 21 games, or you could have a team that's 20 games above the next person in their division that has 90 wins and then suddenly wins 11 in a row and 15 loses 11 in a row and then loses 15 out of 16 as well.
Yeah.
And there you have the Dodgers.
Yeah, so they've lost 12 games to the Diamondbacks. During this stretch, which is crazy when you think about it. But it's not a huge follower of the Dodgers. I know that you still have a connection to
them. I'm an enthusiast, yes. Yeah.
The thing that I read is that Robert said that there's a lot of frustration in the dugout, although they've won the last two games, so maybe
here's
that's starting to turn the tide.
Yeah, they won the last two, so you knew that was going to happen, right? But here's the thing. They were hitting 20% worst, though a bratwurst right now would be delicious, 20% worse than the second worst hitting team in that time.
Oof.
20% less. You know, one of my favorite statistics that exists is WRC+.
Mm-hmm.
I know. What does that mean? It's weighted runs created, plus means that it's leveraged out by the whole league, right? So basically, you compare your overall batting to other players, and it adjusts for what baseball parks have more hitting than less. So, like the Rockies. So, you can actually compare a Rockies hitter with a Dodgers hitter, even though it's easier to hit at where the Rockies play, right? Mm-hmm. So, basically, what you want to have an average hitter is 100, right? Simple. Mm-hmm. Curtis Granderson, since he got traded to the Dodgers during the slump, was -1.
Oof.
Not -1 from 100, meaning 99, meaning 99, 98, 97, 96,
101 away from 100.
50, 40, 20, 10, less than 1% of a 0% player.
Wow.
Like, it's like they're breaking statistics. They're making it so like they have to completely reconceive statistical models because they're that bad. Same with Yasmani Grandal. He didn't have a minus one. He had a one.
So is Curtis Grandison the curse?
Maybe we should call him Curtis Granderson. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, this guy comes on the scene, and all of a sudden, like, first of all, Dave Roberts, what are you doing playing Curtis Granderson every day? Please stop this, sir. Literally anyone else is better than Curtis Granderson every day. I like Curtis Granderson. I think he's a good dude. I think he puts up good numbers, but you have to rest him. He has to rest a couple days a week, and just kept putting him out there and putting him out there. And it wasn't like this was as funny. It was the opposite of like of the Indians, where it's like there weren't a lot of like these catastrophic losses and, oh, they blew a 3-run lead in the ninth. And how did they fall apart like this? They just gave up runs and didn't catch up.
But they lost a lot of, I want to say lopsided games, but games that they weren't in.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, it was like they were giving up like 5-6 runs in the first few innings, and then if you're not hitting, you can't score 7 runs to then win the game. They would score like 2.
Well, they have their next 7 games are on the road, and against Washington, well, Philadelphia should help, a 4-game set against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then the Giants again, then Padres, and then the Rockies. So they close out with the Rockies.
So they wound up losing 12 in a row? Is that what it was?
I think it was 11.
It was 11, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then Kershaw, and then of the 16 games that they lost, or the 15 out of 16, the only win in there was a Kershaw win. I think it was 1-0 against
the
Padres.
Yep.
Yeah.
Way back on September 1st.
Yeah, then they were beaten on a doubleheader the next day against the Padres, which is, anyway, that's a bad, bad baseball team. Have you seen some of these rosters, by the way? Like the Tigers and the White Sox and the, like, this is sad.
Thrown in the towel.
I mean, there's rebuilding, and then there's just, like, sadness. This is their, like, AAA teams. Like, honestly, they just brought up their AAA teams. It would be more impressive. The Tigers, ay caramba.
Yeah, and you're thinking that this is the time of the year that good teams will feast on that, and that it isn't always the case, which just goes to show you that baseball
is the best.
It just on any given day, any team can beat, the best pitcher in the world can get taken out by a 188 hitter,
Exactly. So, Who was it? Kelby Tomlinson for the guy with the glasses, with the 70s nerd glasses for the Giants. Hit a home run off Kershaw. They won the game. Dodgers won the game. But, like, Kershaw, what are you doing giving up a home run to this guy?
Yeah, what's that all about?
It's like a science teacher.
Yeah, so now we have Kershaw coming back from his injury and Scherzer kind of battling it out for the Cy Young, which I guess we'll talk about a little bit later. But the interesting developments with both of them, Kershaw not doing as well. Scherzer got roughed up last night or yesterday or whatever.
This week.
So we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that the Dodger team that was so dominant. I mean, they were a threat to win 120 games.
Yeah.
now we don't know if they're going to win 100.
Some of it was like, oh, look at this magical ending. And whenever there's magical endings to games, you almost have to cancel those out because a lot of that's just luck. You know, like, oh, they came from behind. They were coming from behind a lot, which is not a sexual thing, people. Please. Different podcast. Though, oddly enough, a different podcast still hosted by John and Jed.
On a different network.
But they were having these sort of magical endings to games. And I think that's the sort of thing where you have to know that's going to run out. But it's never run out like this for anyone ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the Yankees back in 2000, I think they're saying. I remember they went 2-13 to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, geez, oh, are they going to be able to just flip a switch? And yes, they've just flipped a switch in 2000.
Well,
so.
Yeah, they played the Mets. But I think that really comes down to, the psychological part of this, what's in your head when you're going in is that, and these guys are professional baseball players, so they know that the most important thing is to get into the postseason. And that's all that matters. And from a pitcher's point of view, from a offensive player's point of view, you want to know that your pitching staff is healthy because that takes the pressure off. And when you're a pitcher, you want to know that your batters are going to support you. And that's one of the challenges I think that Kershaw has had throughout his career. For whatever reason, every other team, anytime he steps up to plate, and he dominates despite this, but he gets a lot of 1 and 2 run victories. And he also has the times when he loses is rarely because he's been teed off on. It's, you know, they lose the game in late innings. So he's a dominant pitcher, and teams always raise their game against him. And it's, you know, he wins a lot of 1-0, 2-0 games, 3-2 games. He doesn't have that comfort zone, you know, historically of having his team always blowing out the opposition.
Yeah,
but we'll see. You know, the rap on the Dodgers and Kershaw is he does not deliver in the postseason. So we'll see.
Yeah, but that's not true though. That's statistically not true. I think he's just been. There's a couple of games where that was the narrative, where like, oh, he didn't deliver, but what about the 3 games earlier in this playoffs that he did deliver?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you get these fluky lefties hitting home runs off him. We talked about this, right. I think, last week, where it's just like Matt Adams and Murphy with the Mets, right? This one before everyone had figured out that Murphy had made himself into a great hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And like all of a sudden, Murphy's launching these bombs off of Kershaw, but then he launched bombs off of everyone. He was
pushing
that team, you know, into the World Series. I mean, the pitching was really good on that Mets team, but it was really Murphy that was.
Yeah, carried them.
Carried them. And then when he stopped hitting, that was the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Go Royals.
When the other team said, oh, we're just not going to pitch to this guy.
Winning.
Anyway.
Okay, so now we're on to our third item. Yeah, we're half an hour into the show.
Let's talk more about Rob Hubel. tell you right now.
Rob Hubel
show. Ed Norton, pretty good volleyball player.
Oh, you played volleyball with him?
Yeah, we played beach volleyball. Nice. It was really fun.
Yeah. Did Salma Hayek play?
She did not.
Did she sit on the sideline?
Yeah, she, you know, did the umbrella thing. You know, she may have gotten up for one of the free-for-alls. Like sometimes...
Excuse me?
You know, like, you know, it's like an orgy of volleyball. You know, where like... You get like 8 people on a side.
Right, and it's just, you know.
Yeah. It's not meant to be competitive.
It's just fun. Good times.
Yeah. And it's not male and female. Like when I used to play beach volleyball, we had females that were quite good.
Interesting.
But not so much.
So we have the volleyball podcast.
Yeah.
The celebrity podcast.
The Coming From Behind.
The Coming From Behind podcast. We've got it all going on here.
Look, this is the thing about baseball, John. This is what makes baseball so great, is baseball can be going on, and you can talk about other
anything,
stuff.
Anything, yeah. It's good. We're not just hardcore numbers into,
yeah.
You know.
And you can be, if you're a basketball game, you can't talk about stuff. You got to go left, right. You don't miss the dunk. You don't want to, left, right, left, right. It's like tennis. Football, too. Stuff going on. It's loud. It's, oh, here's a play. You can't talk. Baseball, you can sit back.
Relax.
Catch up with someone. Talk about celebrities, talk about Coming From Behind, whatever you want to talk about. And baseball's going on, it's not going to take all your attention.
Right. So baseball is more of the casual encounter for the sports watcher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, there's an intense way to sort of immerse yourself into it and let it permeate all of your being, but at the same time, it's very casual.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that usually bugs me about going to baseball games, is that there's so many people around you that are talking about things that have absolutely nothing to do with the ball game.
Oh, so you're kind of an a-hole then.
I like the games within the game. I'm kind of an intense watcher and engaged when I go to games.
I see.
So it's more a matter of like,
you're an a-hole.
Okay, I know everything that's going on. I always joke with my wife. I'm like, I'll turn to her at odd times and go, what's the score? And she rarely knows.
Yeah.
But sometimes she does.
Yeah, no, that sounds like fun, John.
Yeah.
We should go to a game sometime.
I will talk. I will engage. But I'm not going to be like, Jed, shut up. Shut up. Stop talking about Rob Hubel. Enough. And you and Ed Norton, your pal, your beach pal, Ed Norton.
Never seen him since, by the way. Just one of those weird
encounters.
Things. I'm just saying it's L.A. Like, this is what happens in L.A.
Right.
Sometimes you see, you know, Rob Lowe making a poor man's latte. Sometimes that happens.
What's a poor man's latte?
You don't know what a poor man's latte is?
I do not.
Okay. Here's a new podcast. Jed Rigney's Poor Man's Lattes. Okay, so here's what you do. lattes at Starbucks are very expensive, mm-hmm. and at any store are very expensive. But you know what's not expensive, John? Espresso shots. Do you know what a latte is?
Espresso shot in hot water.
No.
No? In milk.
And milk.
Yeah. Steamed right? milk.
Steamed milk. But here's the thing. Sorry. It's a poor man's iced latte.
Okay.
Right? It's a poor man's latte, but it is an iced latte. So what you do is, instead of getting an iced latte for $5, is you get two espresso shots, or three, if you're feeling like you need a little pick-me-up. And that's going to cost you $2, mm-hmm. maybe $2.40, right? But you get it in a tall cup, and then you get a cup of ice. Mm-hmm. And what you do, and the cup of ice is free, and then what you do is you go over to the mixing stand there, right, with all
the
stuff.
Where the
milk is, and you just pour your own milk. You empty the container into, or sometimes people do a little half and half, right?
Right.
Create a breve action, right? Mm-hmm. Ice breve. So you pour in the milk, or half and half, and then about an inch or two from the top, then you put in the ice from your ice cup, and you put a lid on it. All of a sudden, boom, there's your poor man's iced latte, $2.40 instead of $5. So when you go to Starbucks, you're basically paying them $2.50 to combine those two fluids together.
Poor man, and that happens often? You see Rob Lowe doing that?
I saw Rob Lowe doing this in Studio City. I was blown away, because first of all, this is my move. Second of all, Rob Lowe, you're not making enough money off those DirecTV ads. Pay the extra $2.50.
I think he can afford it.
He, of all people. But maybe, hey, what was it my rich friend used to say? The best way to get rich is to stay rich.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah.
Is it, John?
Work in the system.
It sounds like something that a rich person would say who was already rich and had no threat of losing their richness. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to have a $1 under a billion. I want to have, it's like the character in Silicon Valley. The guy is hell-bent on being a billionaire. And when he loses money and falls below and he's out of the billionaire club, he's agitated.
Right.
So it's like, he got to stay a billionaire.
I feel that way about myself.
Yeah, me too. I'm way on that track.
Hey, let's breeze through some of these other stories. What else we got?
We got Yu Darvish fastest to 1,000 Ks. I think we're having the fastest two records this year, more than we've ever had before.
Right, and that's the reason why I put that on there, is I think you're going to start seeing a lot more of this. Like, you're seeing a lot more fastest to home runs, fastest to 20, fastest to whatever. Reese Hopkins or
right,
Reese Hoskins.
Records Greece, out of the water.
Is it Greece Hoskins Greece, they're calling him?
Greece Hoskins?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, he's going
Greece,
crazy.
Reese Lightning? Anyway, so he's killing all the home runs. Good for him. But you're going to see a lot more of that. But you're also going to see a lot more strikeouts, a lot more fastest to blank. Mm-hmm. I mean, Darvish always has sort of have a reputation of being sort of a strikeout chaser, and maybe to his own detriment. But that's a lot of strikeouts, and you're going to see more people doing that, and otherwise I don't really care.
Until Ohtani comes to town.
Right. Well, I mean, the reason why I don't care is just like the people strike out more now.
Right,
like,
and there will be someone who will beat that record probably within the next decade.
Exactly. And that person will beat because everyone's swinging for the fences, and that's going to mean more
changing
strikeouts.
Changing their launch angles and coming from behind and everything.
Coming from behind. Yeah, exactly.
Everything's changing in the world of baseball, including this podcast. So let's we got a couple other things that are Irma related. So we have both the Yankees,
that
Rays.
Bitch.
Yeah, she was we didn't even talk about her. God,
yeah, you know, I don't think she was as devastating as the media had hoped that she would be.
Well, I think that's all relative, though, because I have tons of friends, having lived in Florida for 23
years, bragger.
All over the state. I know people who are still without power in St. Augustine. I know people who had their friends' homes devastated down in the Keys. I know people who are still without power in Ocala, in Lake Placid. Someone who lives in Fort Myers area said they won't have power for 2 more weeks. So it might not have been as destructive and as powerful as they thought, but the widespread damage is unfounded. It's just never happened before on that big of an area. It's huge. Yeah. The impact was huge.
Yeah, and John, I'm not saying there was no damage. What I'm saying is I don't think there was as much damage as the media wanted there to be, because when they're showing footage of the damage, they're showing the U.S. Virgin Islands, because that's what they wanted. They wanted communities leveled.
I don't know because if they that's wanted what the media that. Wants. They want ratings.
No, what do you mean that's what they want? They don't know if that's what they wanted. Of course that's what they wanted. It's the media.
The media got what it wanted, which was people constantly riveted to the television because they thought it was going
to
be...
But they want them to be continue to be riveted, John. Right. That's all a game.
Sure.
Look, obviously it's a tragedy and whatever, but all the stuff about, climate change, like, yeah, okay, climate change caused the hurricane, great. Well, let me know if there were ever hurricanes before climate change, man-made climate change, got it. I just want to make sure. Oh, there were? Okay, worse than this one? Okay, just want to make sure. Okay.
But there's never been two Category 4s to strike the U.S. back-to-back ever. It's real.
I don't think that happened with this time either, right?
No, yeah. Harvey
wasn't a four.
Yes, it was. Harvey was a four. First time ever in U.S. history. Yes, it was. Harvey was a four.
No, Harvey was a three.
No, Harvey was a four. Two fours.
Hey, but did you also hear about Katrina? No. Kelly? There was like a little hurricane over in the Gulf.
Katia.
Yeah, that's what it is. Katia. Like, hey, a little mini
hurricane. So Mexico got it on both ends. Yeah. Had a hurricane coming from the east and an earthquake on the west coast. That wasn't a happy weekend for them. So now this has become the global weather and tragic events podcast.
Yeah. No, look, it's a lot of water. I have friends in Florida, too. You're not that special, John. Okay? We all have friends in Florida. No, category Harvey's a category 3, John.
Okay, so two major hurricanes. So the 3 is considered a major. So two major hurricanes hitting.
So I'm sorry, what? So, okay, fake news. Okay, hashtag fake news, John Sumple.
No, it's two major hurricanes hitting.
You're part of the lying mainstream media.
It was 190 mile an hour winds, damn it.
I think it was 185, John. Come on, with the facts.
225 gusts.
Really? Yeah, that feels fast.
When it was at 185, they were saying the gusts were up to 225, but that could be made up. I don't know.
Devastating.
Yeah, all you have to do is look at the. I don't know if you saw the aerial photographs, satellite photographs of the Leeward Islands, the befores and after.
Yeah.
The afters are, there's no green left at all.
Right? Like those are pretty cool. I mean, look, obviously it's terrible, but those are pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just stunning, you know.
But I'm saying that's what the media wanted for Florida.
Well, I think there's two things there. The media definitely going for the they want eyeballs. This is weather has turned into a sweeps week. Whenever there's a weather event, but at the same time, they want people to be prepared for the worst, which isn't necessarily always smart.
They want people to survive so they can keep watching the news. All right, anyway, I'm playing around a little bit.
So Irma, what else? In her devastation, forces the Yankees to play the Rays at a home game for a Rays home game at Citi Field, which became a Yankees home game.
Right.
And the Marlins are moving their series this weekend to Milwaukee.
And you want to talk about devastation. That's how bad it is in Miami. They're willing to go to Milwaukee.
Yeah, Miami, which was 120 miles away from the center of the storm, got a lot of storm surge, a lot of flooding, a lot of damage. Yeah, so
it's still not. You see the photos they were posting about the Miami flooding, but it was really just the inlet there.
Well, people were reacting to it in the news, thinking it's the Miami River, basically, is what they were showing. and people are like, oh, my God, the streets are flooded. Is that real? It's like, no, that's the Miami River. But that water did spill over and flood downtown Miami.
Yes,
but they were showing it as if that was, the main highway or the main downtown.
Yes, let's have some fun here, for crying out loud. Let's make fun of people.
So we can go on all day, about hurricanes and tragedy. And there's so many stories within the story. But, that's not what this podcast is about.
Yeah. But I just thought it was interesting.
So let's talk about something.
Here's why I wanted to mention the thing about the Marlins and the Yankees and the Rays and the Brewers is this really just makes the Rangers look bad that they're being a-holes about switching their games around.
Right.
When Harvey hit Houston and they were like, oh, yeah, no, we don't want to swap our schedule. That would be inconvenient for us. Sorry.
Right. Our fans. Their wallets would be hit. Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a freaking hurricane. Some people might call it a Category 4 hurricane.
Right. Some people might. I think it was a category 6.
Whoa!
That was another thing that was flying around in the fake news media. Now weather is fake. They were one of the things that was shown that was flying around was this footage from the islands that was actually a tornado that happened a year ago. Somewhere
people are jerks
in South America, and people were saying people that this are is jerks. What. Yeah, and there was also this thing about Category 6, and that you know that's there may be a new category for this hurricane. It's like no, that's not true, but that spread like wildfire. So the weather is now part of the fake news world, which is that's just great.
Welcome to the club.
And speaking of positive events in baseball. Fenway last night, night before this week. Fans lowering over the Green Monster, a nice big sign that says racism is as American as baseball.
See, here's what I don't understand, John, is why would you go to a baseball game and talk about how great racism is?
Well, it's Boston.
Like, why would you unfurl a sign promoting racism saying that it's as American as baseball?
I don't think that was quite the intent. Go racism.
Hey, racism is okay. It's as American as baseball.
I guess there's two ways to look at that. And I was kind of joking about the Boston thing because Boston doesn't have the best history when it comes to that.
They have issues.
They have some issues.
As recent as this year, they have issues.
But you have, I would assume that was a protest rather than a pro-racist.
Oh, wait a minute. So they weren't promoting racism? They were trying to say it was bad?
I think so.
They're trying to say it's prevalent throughout.
Shame on you. 30 different cities. Shame on you, America.
And has lesser forms in smaller cities, but they're all coordinated organizations for the major teams?
Yeah, I don't think
that's what they're saying about racism.
That song goes, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, racism in Chevrolet. That's not how it goes, is it?
Here's what's stupid about it, John. Racism is everywhere. So it's like it'd be like going to Brazil and saying like racism is as Brazilian as soccer.
Right. Yeah, racism is racism.
Racism exists everywhere. I think it's milder in the United States than actually most places, but whatever. People tend to not treat people that look different, they treat them as if they're different. Right. That's all. It doesn't mean that they want to burn them or lynch them. I mean, it's not like that rapper who lynched a white kid in his video. I mean, hey, that was cool. That's totally fine.
Is it?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, YouTube's blocking all kinds of content on their site, but they're not blocking the video with the white kid getting lynched. Like, all right, fair enough.
Well, violence is always okay, in the world.
Turnabout is fair play. I guess that's what we're...
After years of suffering, every once in a while you can throw in a white lynching.
Yeah, sure.
And not making light of this, although we are, because it's kind of a humor-based podcast. But these things have become more prevalent because of social media, because there's a bigger
megaphone. And more
exaggerated.
Yeah. Yeah. And more exaggerated.
Yes, I would agree. More fake news than ever before.
Yeah.
So let's move on to something positive with the Red Sox. David Ortiz agrees to play a role with the Red Sox moving forward. What may that role be?
Goddamn racist.
He's there to help stem the tide of racism?
He's there to stop people from unfurling flags.
He's going to
banners
he's gonna patrol
at games.
The Green Monster.
Yeah, I think he's going to be like,
a special assistant.
Yeah, I think more like an ambassador, right? So, like, if they want a free agent, they'll send David Ortiz in there. Mm. I think it'll be that kind of thing.
So he's back.
He's just awesome. Like, everyone loves him, and it's great to have with the team.
He's back in the game.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Anyway, no one cares.
Good for David Ortiz and the Red Sox and Red Sox fans. So yesterday, day before this week, the Tigers apparently had a play where after Brad Ausmus and the catcher got kicked out of the game, new pitcher, new catcher come in and apparently, supposedly, intentionally hit the umpire with an inside pitch.
Right.
Now,
so apparently this was the allegation, right? This is the allegation, was that they set it up so that the umpire would, and look, the hitting batters thing I think is a little silly most of the time, but they didn't do that. There's just no way they did that. Like,
Yeah, it's just the announcers are the ones that brought it up. I didn't see anything from the umpire saying that he thought it was intentional. So that's becomes news for the sake of what? Because the broadcasters in Cleveland
also
said,
like that looked Tigers intentional. Announcers. You know, they're Tigers announcers.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are they doing? They live in Detroit.
And they're having a horrible season, and they got to find a story somewhere.
Yeah. And you get bored, and you say stuff like that, and then it becomes like a thing, especially with social media the way it is. And look, I like the idea of hitting an umpire on purpose. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I've always thought, like, how would I manage games? Would I bring in a reliever at this point? Would I hit a batter because he hit 3 home runs? How would I do? Would I intentionally walk him? If I was upset at the umpire, would I have the catcher sidestep a fastball so that he got clocked in the face? I don't know, John. Well, I can't say I wouldn't do that ever.
And where I think it was made a bigger deal out of is because usually when an umpire gets hit, the catcher turns, you know, are you okay? Kind of will walk out to the pitcher's mound and kind of give him a breather, kind of talk to the pitcher. But apparently the catcher just immediately got up and walked and picked up the ball. Didn't even say a word to the umpire. So that right away is the conspiracy that there was intent, which I don't necessarily believe. I think, I don't think that happened. And if it did, that's shameful.
You know what? I don't deny the allegations. I deny the alligator.
Okay, good. Let's move on to college baseball. I don't know anything about this.
Baseball. Who cares?
Huh?
Skip that. Who cares?
You want to go right to extra innings?
Let's go to Shohei Ohtani is going to be posted.
Yay.
He's going to give up all that money. Best player in Japan, hitter, pitcher. For whatever reason, he's decided to not wait one more year and make a lot more money. So
he just wants to play with the big boys.
Wants to play with the big boys. And, I mean, technically, he'll in the long run, if he plays 10, 15 years in the major leagues, he's going to make all the money anyway. If he's not that good in America, he can go back to Japan and make all the money anyway.
But he'll make a boatload of money for his first 5-year contract, and that's really all that matters.
Right. His first, not this one, but the next one. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The big contract.
The big contract. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to starting nine.
Yes.
Celebration in honor of Hillary Clinton's new book released this week.
Yes. What happened?
Yeah. What happened? That's the way it should have been. Is she on the front cover with her hands up in the air looking like forlorn?
Here's the thing about all this stuff. Like, it just lends itself to memes so easily. Like, don't these people know that there are memes? Like, you see the New Yorker release their cover of, like, this was going to be our cover if the... And it's Hillary looking out the Oval Office window at the moon.
Okay.
And it's like, you're asking for people to make memes out of this.
Right.
Like, that's so crazy. So, you don't know how the internet works? Yeah. What happened?
But that carries the story. Makes it relevant. Keeps them... You know, no PR is bad PR.
I don't know about
bad
that.
Bad PR is not bad
PR. When people are making fun of you constantly, that's
they're
going to
do it anyway.
Yeah, but if you give them a way to channel their energy, I'm telling you.
They will.
People have to be mindful with these things. You can't make a meme for people, John.
These keyboard warriors will stand behind their laptops, you know, forever.
You know what they call it? A mimetic war. I'm serious. That's what they
mimetic
call
wars.
It.
That's good.
Mimetic wars.
Sounds like a movie.
Oh, it's
starring
so good.
Brad Pitt.
Oh, that's perfect. All right, let's do this. So, presidential runner-ups. All right. So, Hillary Clinton came in second to the worst candidate in the history of presidential campaigns. I guess, does that make her the worst candidate?
That makes her the worst.
I still don't think
up.
It does. I still think Trump's the worst candidate, and she found a way to lose to him.
Right.
I think she's bad, a bad candidate, but I still think
but
Trump.
She was the lesser of two evils, and she still lost. What does that say?
Yeah. That's. Look, I'm not saying that like Trump's like a bad person. I really just think he's a Democrat, but I just. Because, I mean, based on all the stuff he's doing currently.
Yeah, he's an egotistical moron. That's more or less what he is.
And he's I know some people like to think that he's literally Hitler, though, whatever. I think there's 6 million people who might disagree with that statement. But anyway, let's do this. So presidential runner-ups. First up, I got Al Gore. And I got Terrence Gore.
Okay.
For that. Michael Dukakis, Nick Markakis.
Okay.
And Adlai Stevenson, by the way, who's a double runner-up loser, which you don't see very often. I got Robert Stevenson. Double runner-up. He lost to Eisenhower twice.
And one time he won, but lost.
Well.
Didn't really, but won. Thought.
Yeah. And then wasn't he, wait, wasn't he
Truman.
Vice president?
Oh, no, Truman was defeated Dewey. That was the one I was Truman thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dewey.
Sorry.
But what didn't...
mixed up here.
Oh, I should have done a Dewey, like Sean Doolittle. Yeah, no, whatever. It's not that good. All right. For another Al Gore, I realize I made a mistake here. I did Alex Gordon.
Okay. And his friends call him, his celebrity nickname is Al Gore, right?
Oh, well, yeah. And then for Richard Nixon, I got Akoya Dixon. Plus, it mixes in his dick, the whole tricky dick,
right.
Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That's good. That's good comedy.
John McCain, which I realized as I was looking it up, is very similar to John McClane. but it's not. So here's James McCann.
Okay, good.
Bob Dole. This is a tough one. What about... what about... I'm sorry. Roberto Lopez.
What?
Right? Because it's Roberto Lopez. Roberto Lopez.
Okay.
Roberto Lopez.
Got it.
Okay. And we've done this one before. We're doing politics stuff. We did Hillary Clinton, and I did Clint Robinson, and I made the joke that it was like, oh, it's Clint Robinson, Clinton, right?
Right.
And we know one knows who Clint Robbins is, but I'm going to bust this out a different way, John. What about Rich Hill, Ari L. Miranda, Clint Frazier, Tone E. Watson?
Wow.
Hill, Ari, Clint, Tone. Boom!
Wow, that's the 4-1?
Boom!
Wow.
You know why I did 4 for her? Because she won't go away.
I think she's done.
Hopefully. She's going to keep hanging around, man. Unprecedented hanging arounderism.
I saw a brief quote from her.
I don't
her
think she'll run again, but I think she's going to just keep hanging around.
So someone asked her, so what do you think if Joe Biden had run, it would have been a different outcome? And she was like, but he didn't run, and that's what we had to deal with. It's like, yeah, but that wasn't the question. I can't imagine, you know, so you go through the losing, you write the book for the sole purpose of making money, and then you have to go and relive this on the talk show circuit all over again and get it just rubbed in your face.
Not fun. Is she getting it rubbed in her face, or is she getting the attention that she wants? Like, I feel it's a little bit more the attention that she wants, because God bless her. I hope the next president is a woman. I have nothing against, I just think she's a bad candidate. But here's the thing. She shows up at her book signing and doesn't say anything to the fans waiting. She just gets there, grabs the book, waves it around a little bit, sits down and starts signing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no speech, no like, oh, by the way, and she showed up an hour late.
Right.
Like, I'm just, like, privilege. That just shows such a disconnect to
humans.
It's all
about the money. Show me the money. Some books, that's what it is. It's a cash grab. And then she'll go on the speaking circuit.
Yeah.
But that's what you do when you go through all that turmoil and defeat and anger and humiliation.
She should have won, though. She should have won.
Okay.
She lost to Donald Trump. Can you imagine how embarrassing that is for the rest of your life?
I know.
Gosh. I mean, to me, it's almost worth it just for that. I prefer to have a little bit of better balance of Republican-Democrat. Though, again, I do feel Trump's more of a Democrat than
Republican. Well, but just think about it, though, is that she lost the nomination to the first black president.
Right.
And then she loses it to the first reality TV star president. If she runs again, it's going to be what? The first comedian president? Al Franken, right? Oh, boy.
She's going to run against an emoji and lose.
Right. Okay, let's pick up the pace here since we're pushing an hour.
All right, whatever.
Already.
What are we doing?
Are
now?
You buying it? Let's talk Cy Young.
Both of these are close, American League and National League.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I think the American League is just Chris Sale and Corey Kluber.
I would agree.
Now, Luis Severino's having a great year. Good for him
Not,
for the Yankees.
Yeah. just a notch below both of the other
two. Yeah, just a notch below. So, but here's the thing. Wins above replacement, Chris Sale has a huge lead, like an insurmountable lead mm-hmm. in wins above replacement. But most people concede that wins above replacement is a little sticky with pitcher awards. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, that one year that Felix Hernandez won, I think, 12 games.
Yeah, 13 games. I think he won the Cy.
13 games.
Yeah.
And like the runner-up, and he won the Cy Young, and the runner-up had, what's it called? I don't know, 17, 18, 19, like a lot right. more wins. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first time where they sort of discarded the wins and looked more at the numbers. Sale actually does have better numbers. He's pitched more innings. He has more strikeouts per inning. He has more strikeouts on the season, of course. Mathematically, that makes sense. But Kluber does have this 21-game winning streak mm-hmm. that might be enough.
I think it's
except,
more.
Except.
I think with these.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Chris Sale. The Red Sox have no other starting pitching in the top 20 mm-hmm. of starting pitchers, whereas the Indians have Carrasco. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think one of the things that happens with in award season is who's hot now,
right?
Is usually what kind of is you know in the minds of the voters, and yeah. Kluber has been hot. Sale had a phenomenal first 2 months of the season. Was yeah. the best pitcher on the planet for 2 months. Cooled off a little, not to say that he's cooled off because he's dominant, but he's had a right. couple of rough outings. But
ironically, or coincidentally, probably more likely because it's not like rain on your wedding day, is against the Indians. Mm-hmm. If you take away the two bad starts against the Indians, Chris Sale's your Cy Young award winner. There's just no question. But they're so bad. The two starts against yeah. the Indians are so bad.
So it's.
I think it's going to go down the end.
That's a too close to call at this moment.
Yeah.
Much like the Clinton loss to Trump.
Yeah.
Too close to right? call at this point.
So they're going to go to Wisconsin, or they're not going to go to Wisconsin?
It's an October surprise.
Yeah. So my thought is, it will be an October surprise, won't it? My guess is this: if the Red Sox lose the division and still make the playoffs, but lose the division, then Kluber wins mm-hmm. for the Indians. So, but if they're both division winners and they both pitch very well down the stretch, I think it's Sale by a hair. Yeah. Because I think that the 21 games will have been not forgotten, but set aside. It'll be remembered, but not like fresh in people's minds. Right. You know, and then also let's be real. He shut out the Tigers. John, you have a pretty good chance of shutting out the Tigers.
We'll see. It's still they each got what, 3 starts left, and
yeah, it's about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really going to depend on if one of the guys falters in those 3, or the thing I like about Sale a little bit better is the 20 more innings. Mm-hmm. I always feel like the guy who pitched more innings is the better guy.
Right, and he hasn't been on the DL at all.
Right. And it could just come down to that. And speaking of DLs, over in the National League, Clayton Kershaw still has a chance here.
Mm-hmm. Even though
but I think he has to have like 3 perfect.
Yeah,
three perfect starts.
His first game back wasn't pretty, but he looked dominant. Well, I would say dominant, but back to normal his last start. So right. we'll see what. And he was the stopper, stopped the losing streak, and got him yeah. on a mini 2-game tear now. But we'll see, you know, can he, and the biggest thing for the Dodgers, they want him healthy in the playoffs more than anything,
yeah.
you know, laser focused. And, you know, yeah. he's Scherzer's poor outing yesterday sure didn't help.
Sure. It Scherzer didn't. But see, also Scherzer has the disadvantage of great teammate Steven Strasburg. He's right up there, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Surprise, actually. I'm actually thinking about making him a keeper in our fantasy baseball league. Mm. Because I'm like, oh, look at these great numbers. Wow, okay.
Yeah, some pretty good
yeah,
numbers.
Yeah, he's right up there.
Yeah.
And so then you have the Nationals taking away votes from each other. And then really the only other guy is Zank Greinke from the Diamondbacks. And I don't know if that's – doesn't really have the strikeouts, which people tend to think are sexy.
Yeah, he's quietly moved up into the top 3 discussion.
Yeah. Good for him, because last year – 2 years ago, it was so good for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. last year was so bad.
Yeah, it was a money hangover.
Yeah, but also, you know, the Diamondbacks improved their defense.
Mm-hmm.
They had that terrible defense with, like, Yasmani Tomas, and it was very smart of them to get him injured and replace him with a better fielder. They did not deliberately injure Yasmani Tomas. But
so know, if you're a betting man, who's your Cy Young in the National League?
I think it's going to be the same. I think it's going to be down to
Yeah, I would agree.
How do they perform? And I think Kershaw's going to, you know, I think they're both going to want to stay out there. But the managers, I think Dusty Baker's the one more likely to leave Scherzer out there.
Well, that happened in his recent start. And Scherzer explained it as that he stayed out there because he needed to get the innings. He said that, you know, he says, there's nothing wrong with me physically. He says, but I wanted to get, you know, deeper into the game. And he said, and I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, so I kept myself out there to get, you know, shredded. And he said, don't worry, my arm's fine. Everything's good. It's just had to work through a few things. I just wanted the extra work. Really? I guess maybe if you're you know, 20 games up on the second place team, you've clinched a playoff spot already, that you can look at it as, you know, getting in some extra work. But it seemed a little bit sketchy, the description.
Yeah, it feels a little bit more like trying to get the Cy Young Award.
Right.
Let me get that extra win. Yeah.
And he didn't. Well, anyway. They lost. Wind up losing.
Yeah. Okay. Luis Gohara.
Yeah, who's
exciting
that?
Young prospect for the Braves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He of the 6+ ERA.
Yeah, but come on. Everyone comes up.
Yeah,
and
come up, get ripped around. Yeah. Young stud.
Shut down the Washington Nationals pretty good.
Yeah. Looked good.
Saying the Braves have 4 or 5 of these pitchers who could just suddenly become
across, like, the board. They have a lot of young, really impressive coming up. Yeah,
and then of course, you know, Ronald Acuna, who's many people consider to be the best prospect in baseball right now. So
John Hart did some AAA. Weaved some magic down in
good stuff.
In Atlanta. Okay, that's it for baseball. Even though this has been less of a baseball podcast this week.
I know, right?
Extra
Sorry,
innings,
everyone. Or you're welcome, depending on how you take it.
Yes. Yeah. So people are like, more. I did get more feedback of the Jed Lag podcast was by far the funniest one yet. So
I just can't do that. I can't do that again, John. I mean, I can do it again if it happens, but I can't deliberately
make
it happen.
Every night before we record, you can't go to bed.
Look, if we had 1,000 listeners, I would do that every time.
Or maybe there's some temporary hallucinogenic that you could take that could, you know, get you in that vibe. No, but this show, I think, is right up there with it because we're talking about a whole bunch of new stuff. Okay, let's move into extra innings, taking a look outside of the world of baseball, which we've spent a good 30 minutes already in this podcast. But
so this is like extra innings.
Yeah. Weird baseball. So the UFC reinstates Daniel Cormier as champion following John Jones' ruling. I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so John Jones got busted for steroids.
Oh, I did hear about that.
So he got tested before the match. Then they did the match. John Jones won. And so anyway, they listed it as a no contest. Here's the thing. This is Ultimate Fighting Championship. Shouldn't steroids be mandatory?
Right. Barbed wire, you know. Batteries right? in the gloves.
Barbed wire
whatever.
Gloves.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever works.
Like, ultimate. Like, how, if you're taking the word ultimate.
Yeah. Ultimate would be whatever advantage you can gain, right?
Exactly. So it's not like, so then, what if I want to create a league where steroids, super ultimate?
Right.
Like, no, there's, like, you already took it. You know what it should be? Pentultimate.
It should be pentultimate.
Pentultimate fighting championships. This is almost as extreme as it can be, but we have
rules.
A few guidelines that make it less than ultimate.
Yeah, ultimate would be whatever you want to take into the ring with you, you can.
Yes.
Whether that's a juiced up body, a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire.
Like if you want to put like acid packets in your mouth that you shoot at people, that's ultimate, right. Man.
That would be the ultimate. And then
Mortal Kombat. That's what I want. When do we have that? How far are we away from that? What, 20 years? Mortal Kombat.
That would be fun.
What else is there?
Jemele Hill kind of slipped up. And this is an interesting story in the sense that she made comments about Trump being a white supremacist. And she walked.
And only having white supremacists in the White House.
Right. And she walked it back, apologized, and all is well. Apparently. ESPN, just a little wrist slap. Well, ESPN has fired people for things less
worse. They suspended Linda Cohen for saying that ESPN is getting too political.
Yeah.
No suspension for Jemele Hill. And by the way, she did not apologize for it. She says, those are my personal beliefs, and they're not ESPN's.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's
but
not
she's
quite
not
an
saying,
apology.
I'm sorry for calling the president of the United States a white supremacist. And again, hey, look, if you want to think he's racist, that's fine. A lot of evidence against that. He is certainly a race baiter at times, or has been during his campaign, a race baiter. But to say someone is a white supremacist, this feels a lot like the Hitler thing. Like, Hitler was a horrible, horrible monster that tried to take over the world and killed millions of people because of their religious beliefs. Donald Trump is a casino owner that used to be on TV.
Right, celebrity.
He's
star.
A celebrity.
He's an egomaniac. He's not a white
He's
supremacist.
He's an egomaniac. Right. He's not going to open concentration camps. He's not going to open up Japanese intern camps like great Democrat President FDR. He's not going to turn away refugees at the shore like FDR, great Democrat president without infallible Democrat president FDR. Anyway, sorry. That's a whole other thing.
Tell us how you really feel.
White supremacist means something. There are people who want to get rid of other races.
Right.
That feel that other races should be subjugated to them.
So Trump could be classified as I didn't use this word weakly, sympathizer, because part of his voting base is there. So as any politician would, and I'm not exonerating him in any way, he's playing to his base. So he says things that riles his base, which is what every politician does. Unfortunately, his base came out in, you know, full sheet attire as a result of they came out of the closet wearing
in
everything.
Full thread count.
800 thread count Egyptian cotton. They put on their finest once he came in. So yeah, it's a little interesting that this one didn't get more of a response from
her
ESPN.
Tweets are still up. It's still her tweet saying he's a white supremacist. I just can't believe that. Like, take them down. Like,
I think
look,
it's,
you don't have to really be apologetic.
Unfortunately, too, is that it's like, well, she's black, and if we do that, it's going to cause even more bad PR. Do we really want to go there? And that, that becomes a huge mess. And it is.
Here's
because
thing, though,
ESPN has fired people,
white
suspended people. They've done.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they don't do anything with this is a little bit unusual.
If you accuse everyone of being a white supremacist, then no one's a white supremacist.
Yeah, I think
if you accuse 20% of the country of being white supremacist, then there are no white supremacists. That when you see an actual white supremacist, also here's an idea: can we please stop interviewing David Duke?
Yeah, why? Well, yeah, giving him the time of day is ridiculous.
Yeah, stop putting a camera on him, media.
Right.
Please stop. Please pretend that you actually believe that white supremacists are bad. And stop filming him and stop giving him an audience.
Yeah, completely agree.
It's so frustrating because it's so hypocritical.
Yeah, I think the bigger story here is ESPN versus her. ESPN not being consistent in how they dole out their suspensions and firings. That's the story.
Yeah, exactly. And if they had let other people, hey, whatever, we go with a reprimand. We don't, whatever. We acknowledge it's their personal beliefs. And that they are making a statement that it's separate from us, then that's fine. But that's not been their attitude.
No.
And if they've been accused of being against conservatives, people who have come out as conservative have been demoted and not renewed there, though they're not renewing a lot of people. And also, can I add here, I hate this girl show.
I think it's a stupid show, too.
SportsCenter at 6. I'm watching this in a bar, and I'm like, why is this? This isn't SportsCenter. This is like a talk show, like a daytime. How are your feels? And let's see what's on Instagram.
Right.
And
yeah, I don't
know
who
want
the audience
that. I want
is.
Highlights, and I want to see what's
ESPN
coming up.
ESPN is a shell of its former self. It's not.
And also, those two hosts are like the same person. The guy that's there's no contrast. Right. They're just like they both agree on everything.
Yeah. No point counterpoint there.
Anyway, that said, you know, who cares?
Well, even bigger news is the last two is, I think is there a run on celebrity injuries and health that we should be aware of? Is there more?
Well, secret health
issues. Yeah. What's going
on? Selena Gomez had a kidney transplant.
Surprise.
How wild is that? First of all, I first came to know Selena Gomez through her associations with the great Justin Bieber.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you played volleyball with her.
No. She's too young for volleyball.
She
but
is.
Yeah, apparently she has lupus or something.
Yeah,
which,
lupus. I had no idea.
And had to get a kidney. So she has a friend who's an actress I'm adding actress, but I feel like that's a derogatory thing. She has a friend who donated her kidney to her. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
This is very cool. I mean, I wish her the best in recovery and stuff. And
she's sporting nice scar now. She posted that on social media.
Oh, she posted. Okay, I was like, okay, that's a weird thing to guess about, John. But
No.
But she posted
a photo.
Okay, fair enough.
There's a photo.
Fair enough.
I'm reacting to the photo, not to my...
Okay. Not to your imagination.
My imagination.
Not
like the Category 6 hurricane that was 140 miles an hour.
John... It's category 14.
Oh, all 14. Right? That's the next one. Jose, which is spinning out in circles like a drunk uncle and may wind up in the Northeast at some point. Well, that might be a category 8. We don't know.
Could be.
So the other celebrity was Larry King. I didn't even know he was still alive, but apparently he is.
Well, we don't know that for sure, but we do know that... The Crypt Keeper. We do know he's only 83.
I know. I thought he was in his 90s, to be honest with you.
I thought for sure he was in his 90s.
Yeah, it's like 83. I thought he was 83 15 years ago.
He's been married 83 times.
I think so, yeah.
Hey-oh.
But he said he still likes to work. And I'm like, what work are you doing? Is he on some, you know, podcast? Or what
no,
does he do?
He does a podcast, isn't that?
Does he?
That's right. Or like a radio thing.
Or these like advertorial stuff.
Yeah.
But
he had stage 1 lung cancer, which obviously, you know, is different than
stage 2.
One. Or
nothing. Or, no big deal.
Category
1 lung cancer.
Category
1. Cat 1 lung cancer. boy. But that
he
was
he hasn't
you know,
been that relieved. He hasn't been that relieved to have an appendage removed since his last divorce. Hey-o. All right, this is over, John. Let's go to bed.
Good night.
Not together. Next on Coming From Behind.